Jacob is a rebel going his own way, and right in the middle of that way that he's traveling, God intervenes, shoves a ladder into his life, and shows him just exactly who he really is. The significance for you and I? Here's Pastor Chris.
With absolutely no deserving at all, anything that we've done, God sovereignly chooses to love us, to make a way to us. Out of total grace, he makes a way to us that we might be returned to him.
It's been said if it were up to us, we never would be saved. Fortunately, it's up to God, and he has a different plan based upon love and grace. Welcome. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who takes us back to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Loneliness, ladders, and love, oh my. Here's Pastor Chris with today's program.
You know how I want to preach this morning? I want to preach this, that Jacob's all alone in the howling wilderness, and there's beasts that could come and tear him up. He's wrecked his life, and I've heard it preached this way. He's wrecked his life, and he must have been so scared out there. He must have realized how alone he is. He must have realized how empty his life is. I would love to preach it that way, because it would. We all love a story where, you know, somebody's sorry, they mess up. We all know we're sinners. And it makes for a better story when there's some kind of remorse, isn't it? We can have compassion on those who are sorry. Text says nothing. Jacob would downright tick me off as a pastor. He's the kind of guy raised in the church, given everything, and he has no conscience. No spiritual life. He can steal without a care in the world. He can take everything that belongs to his brother, doesn't bother him. He has no conscience in what he does. His attitude, it stinks. You'd love to get some kind of emotion out of this guy, but he's arrogant. His posture is a slouch. Hates being in church. Really doesn't want to be here. Too cool for that. Complete hard heart. With no remorse. He's a master manipulator. This guy can work mom and dad, all the while he shows no love for him. Oh, man. Can you feel who Jacob is? He's the kind of guy that makes us the most angry. The kind of personality. Remember the prodigal. When the young prodigal was running, you see it, Jesus captures it. Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me. Older brother standing there, you got to be kidding me. Dad, you better not do that. And dad does it. And he runs. He's gone next day, running off, living, doing whatever he wants, down in Vegas, partying it up, no conscience, squanders it all in reckless living, it says. Why do I build this up? If we met somebody who did what Jacob did, who was sorry, we would struggle with, you know. How's God going to handle that? The naturally, I would want to handle somebody like this is taken behind the barn and beat some sense into him, you know. But how is the Lord going to handle him? Will the Lord even answer somebody like this? What does the Lord do with somebody like this? This is the question. What does the Lord do with somebody like this? Would the Lord turn his face away from a thug like this? You'd kind of expect it. This is wicked behavior. What if Jacob doesn't call? How many of you have maybe sons or daughters who they're not calling out on the Lord at all, and they are hard as a rock in the heart? What does the Lord do with someone like that? With no asking, with no repenting, going the wrong way, with a dead, seared conscience. What does God do? The text invites you to realize where God has brought him. Bethel. Why does that matter? Because you see, even before we're told what God says, he's already led him to a place of blessing. Where was Bethel? Bethel was the place that Abraham went before he left the land, and the very place he went when he returned to the land. Remember? when he went down to Egypt and he told his lies and he had that big mess down in Egypt, Bethel bracketed. Abraham had stood right here years ago. Jacob has no knowledge of it. Dead. Didn't care about granddaddy Abraham. You're kind of provoked. Was the very stone that he's sleeping on the one that Abraham used to build the altar? What happens? Look at verse 12. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Can you imagine this? That night he dreamed. A giant ladder was set up on the earth. And when you looked up, all you would see is these angels coming up and down on the ladder. And then Jacob sees at the very top, and notice it's all capitals. Notice, the text wants you to know this is the name. This is the Lord standing at the top of what was this massive stoned staircase that bridged heaven and earth. Think of what you have here. He didn't ask for any of this. And without seeking, without expecting, God drops a staircase ladder to him. I'm hoping now in Genesis, you're beginning to comprehend what is the height, width, depth of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. It's so beyond us. Our puny minds, we have to be trained in it the whole course of our lives because we're constantly walking away from it. Do you know what it is? With absolutely no deserving at all, anything that we've done, God sovereignly chooses to love us, to make a way to us. And we're not making, I'll talk about making a way to him. He makes a way to us that we might be returned to him. Out of total grace, he drops a gate to him. Now, remember, this isn't the only kind of scene that we have something like this, but it was reversed. Remember back in Genesis 10 and 11? What was the whole quest of man after the fall when they were booted out of the Garden of Eden? You have a whole scene of the Tower of Babel. And remember what they said? Remember the very words that came out of their mouths? Come, let us build a city and a tower whose top will reach up to God, will reach up to the heavens. So that, remember what they said? Lest we are scattered over the face of the whole earth. We don't want to be alone. We know we need to get back. We know something's wrong. Sad picture, isn't it? Everyone today, all your great Hollywood stars are on the next kick, aren't they? They're all trying to get back. They're all trying to get to God. And they all have a million different ways to try to get there. And God from the beginning put up the sword and said, there's no way. You can't do it. You don't understand my holiness. If sinners were exiled from the presence of God and they've been in this groping and wandering state, how are they able to find God? How can they reach him? Who will mediate? How do we get there? What will bridge heaven and earth? Can we build it? Can we get there? Islam. Let me read for you a few quotes. It's remarkable in studying these religions what they say. If any one of you performs his ablutions for prayer in a thorough manner, and then says, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah alone without partner, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger, then 8 gates of heaven will be open for him to enter through any gate he pleases. Hear the devil in that? Any gate, if you perform your ablutions. Mormon. In order for those who have died to enter the gates of heaven, they must first be baptized. There was a cult called Heaven's Gate, remember? You entered by suicide. Listen to a Buddhist. It's the love and devotion you put into it. The more intense, the best results you will get from the technique. You might know powerful meditation techniques such as Kundalini yoga, which can lead you to the gates of heaven. But without devotion, it won't open. You see? Everyone's trying to find it. Everyone wants the gate. Hasn't this been the driving truth of Genesis, this whole study, that all of our bridges lead to nowhere? They lead to isolation. They lead to more darkness. They lead to more emptiness. Genesis has told us you can't fix it. You're in that bad of a mess. You are at the complete disposal of His grace. Now, what do we have here? Here is somebody. He's not even searching for the gate. He doesn't care. And God drops one to him. And Jacob looks up and he sees the Lord. And for the first time in his life, the Lord introduces himself. What a great moment. The holy name is used. Verse 13, notice it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you. And will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. That's not saying he'll ever leave him. I'm going to do all of this. Verse 15 is just remarkable. I am with you. I will keep you. I promise to preserve you wherever you go. Jacob, I'm never, ever walking away from you. And I'm going to bring you back. And I will never in the course of your life leave you nor forsake you. Don't ask me to leave you alone. I'm not. You can begin to understand why John, when he talks about the love of God and the love of the Father, when he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called sons of God. What does all this mean this morning? Well, Jacob looks up and he sees angels descending and ascending on what appears to be a giant ladder. What is that? Well, I believe we can have some certainty as to what that is because Jesus told us what that is. It's not complex. At the beginning of John's gospel, one day there was a man named Nathanael. And remember his question, how could there be any good that comes out of Nazareth? Jesus sees him and a direct play upon Jacob says, behold, an Israelite, remember God's changing Jacob's name to Israel, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit, Jacob meant deceit. What did Nathanael say? How do you know me? How do you know me? Christ says, I saw you. Before he had even had this conversation, the Lord saw him. Remember Zacchaeus? I'll come back to Zacchaeus. Nathanael says, makes a great confession that Christ is the Son of God. And then Jesus says this, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus just took Jacob's dream and said, that ladder is me. That ladder that the angels were on coming to be ministering spirits to you is me, says Jesus. I'm the bridge. I'm the gate. I'm the way. Not gates. No gates. There's no plurality of gates. There's one gate. It's me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one enters except by me. That's it. When Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, a bad one, and Jesus was passing through Jericho, remember? Jesus came to that place and Zacchaeus had gone up in the tree, boys and girls, and everyone's, the multitudes are all around. And can you picture this? He walks right up under the tree and what did he say? Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. The whole message of Scripture is that the Lord has dropped to you a ladder. The Lord has dropped to you the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before you ever asked, before you ever sought, while you were dead in trespasses and sins, when your heart was as hard as Jacob, he came and he said to you today, and he says to you today, because of the love with which I have loved you, and because of my sovereign good pleasure, I have decided to forgive your sins. And I have decided to give you everlasting life. And I have come down from heaven. I ascended, I descended, and then ascended that you might be brought back. And I'm not leaving you alone the whole way. It's a remarkable thing. You could try to run, but he's not going to leave you alone. And now you understand how opposed and grace is to our natural mind. You process that. How do you process that? God pursues rebels like this and like us who are absolutely helpless ever to choose him or ever find him. And here's the question. When you begin to comprehend the height, depth, and width of the love of Christ, as Paul talks about, that Paul prayed that you would understand, and that the pastor prays that you would understand. When you begin, what is the response? Well, look at verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow and saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. What? Come on. You got to be kidding me. If God will give me clothes and food, I'll come back. That's not what the promise that God just said. That's not what God just said. God just said, I'm giving you life. I'm giving you all the Abrahamic blessings. I'm giving it all to you. I'm going to bless you. Your seed will be multiplied to the ends of the earth. If he gives me some food and he brings me back, he'll be my God. Pathetic. You see why I said the prodigal returns, sort of? As angry as that makes me, it's a start. You see why we need patience with people, don't you? The one thing, though, I am going to press on you is that when this grace begins to really get into your hearts and minds and you begin to taste it, there's one thing that does, a fruit that does immediately start to come to fruition. A love to worship. Surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know. How many people come to church today really not thinking that the Lord's in this place? How many people are here this morning and really don't believe that the Lord is in this place? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Well, you can't say this building is. It needs a little work. What's he talking about? Early in the morning, Jacob took a stone that he had put under his head and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. The whole New Testament would look at this and say, where Jesus Christ is proclaimed to you, that's the gate. That's the gate. And your love and your understanding, when you really begin to see what's going on and the Lord has dropped the gate to you, when you really begin to understand and comprehend this message, this is what you love to do. This fills you. This is what you are eager to do. You come out of weeks and you're eager to come back and receive. The way you know salvation has come to you is with a holy gathering, your love for that, and the joy that animates and drives your life and excitement that begins to fill you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases, who forgives all your sins, who crowns you with steadfast love and kind, who renews your strength like the eagles. The more grace grips us, the more a drive to worship God fills us. The more grace grips us, the more our drive to worship God fills us. There's a lot of work yet to do in Jacob. It's just a start. But next time he's in the wilderness, he's not so casual. He's scared to death. His brother's coming at him. And then a man takes him down in the middle of the night. Changes him. But it's a start here. And the Lord assures all those today who are his children and who believe in the Son, he's with you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. What does that make you say? I hope it's not, well, if God will fix this, then, boy, God has answered your loneliness. God has answered your pain. God has given you his Son. And the evidence of your understanding of that, this place is going to be full. A stairway has been dropped to you today in the hearing of Christ. How beautiful is that gate? That's what Paul said in Romans 10. This is why we have the gate. Let us enter through him. Jesus is the only way. Are there any today who've not entered? Enter. I am the door, says Jesus. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Amen.
I don't know about you, but as we've spent time here in Genesis chapters 27 and 28 over the last couple of weeks, there is a certain sense of God's determination, in spite of all of our rebellion, to keep us in his grip for all time and all eternity. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Well, to close out our time together today, let's return to Pastor Chris, shall we, for a word of prayer.
How wonderful is this place, O Lord. How awesome. You were with us, and we confess that when we entered these doors today and we came to worship you, we didn't realize it. And we ask that you would take away the dullness of our hearts and that you would work in all of us a love to worship you whenever it's called, and that we would fix our eyes upon Christ, realizing the wonderful pursuit of our lives that you sought, that you pursued, that you won the victory. And today we bow in grateful praise for the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who is the gate, who is the way, and who has supplied our every need that we might enjoy reconciliation, not loneliness, but that our joy is complete. We are fulfilled. We sing to you and praise you today, loving the Lord our God, for the wonderful grace that we've known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris joins us in studio. We're going to get a spiritual sorbet of sorts with all of this coronavirus and all of the shelter in place that's going on. It's nice to get our minds off of the current crisis and back on the one person that really matters. We'll just spend time talking about Jesus tomorrow. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.